the disciples were snoozing in the garden. Jesus had said to them, "Pray that you might not come into the time of temptation." And yet in this moment, when they needed to be in prayer, when they needed to be in communion with God, when they needed to be talking with God and meditating in their hearts on what they were getting ready to face, in this time of supreme need, they were sleeping. Jesus, meanwhile, is in prayer to God, saying, "Not my will, but thine. I wish this cup could pass from me, but not my will, but thine, O Father." And then he comes and he finds the disciples sleeping. How disappointing. They weren't getting ready. And it's in this context, in this time, in this place, in this moment, that Judas shows up. Judas shows up having told those who were part of the soldiers in the guard of the temple, "The one I kiss is the one you are to arrest." Judas shows up, he comes up to Jesus, and he kisses Jesus, and he says, "Greetings, Rabbi." And Jesus' response in Matthew's gospel is, "Do what you're here to do." Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. It's an observation that he makes over in Luke's gospel. It's a powerful observation. It's one that rings down in my heart and soul. "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying me?" Jesus asks him over in Luke's gospel. "Is it with a kiss that you betray me?" We don't betray with kisses. Kisses are signs of love, affection, not signs of betrayal. And yet Judas betrays Jesus with the kiss of greeting, with the kiss of love. In this mixed-matched message, Judas's betrayal is now complete. Having said, "Is it I, Lord?" And Jesus said, "You have said." Now he actually acts on it and kisses Jesus in betrayal. And at this point, all of the Gospels agree. There is conflict. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, talk about how there is a conflict, a response, a negative response, a violent response. It says that one of the disciples pulls his sword from his sheath and goes and strikes the servant of the high priest and chops off his ear. Not exactly the object that you're supposed to be swinging for. You chop off the head or the arm or a leg, not the ear. He messes it up. Over in John's gospel, we learn that it was Peter who drew the sword and chopped. And we know also that the servant whose ear was chopped off was named Malchus. And in Luke's gospel, we also learn, unique to Luke, that Jesus, in a moment of compassion that typified his entire character, Jesus takes his hand and covers Malchus's head where the ear had been severed and heals him. In this act of compassion in response to violence, Jesus expresses love yet again. And then what happens? Jesus says, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you not think I can appeal to my Father, and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels?" If you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword, Jesus says. The arrest of Jesus reveals to us, firstly, our complicity in his arrest. We are Judas, after all. We learned that last week. And we betray Jesus. Just as surely as Judas betrays Jesus, so also we betray Jesus with a kiss. In one moment, affirming him as Lord and Savior. In one moment, affirming him as God and King. In one moment, proclaiming him as the coming Messiah. And in the very next moment, through words or deeds or inactions, we betray him. We betray him. The arrest of Jesus reveals that we betray Jesus. The arrest of Jesus reveals our failure in the face of the call to pray, to be ready to face the temptations. We fail to pray, to be made ready by God's grace to face the temptations. The arrest of Jesus reveals our failure in that we struggle at the wrong time, in the wrong place, in the wrong way. We resort to violence in the wrong way. We pull the sword when we shouldn't. And we strike at that which is not harming us. The arrest of Jesus reveals that we are like the disciples, so very afraid. Then all the disciples departed him and fled. We, like the disciples, run. We got to get away. We got to run away. In the face of failure to pray, in the face of failure as betrayers, in the face of failure to act as we are called to act, in the face of our own complicity with his arrest, his betrayal, and his death, we, like the disciples, run away. And still, Jesus amazes us. Even though we have been exposed as betrayers, as failures to pray, as failures to act, Jesus nevertheless amazes us, confronting our betrayal, challenging our sleeplessness, our sleepiness, calling us to put back our sword, for all who live by it will die by it. And he corrects, he heals, he undoes our mess, and then willingly hands himself over for us. And that last bit's the most amazing part of all. Yes, he confronts us in our failure to pray. Yes, he confronts us in our sleepiness. Yes, he confronts us in our failure to act appropriately. Yes, he reminds us that if we live by the sword, we die by the sword. Yes, he corrects our messes and heals Malchus's ear. And then he submits himself as an offering for us. Even though we are failures, even though we are betrayers like Judas, even though we are like the disciples and we run away, Jesus nevertheless presents himself. Do you think I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then? How then? If I were to do that, how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way? We betray, we fail. We act when we shouldn't and fail to act when we should. Jesus corrects us, confronts us, and forgives us. And we still run away. The message of Lent is a time to get ready, to be prepared, to be made ready to recognize that we are the reason that Christ Jesus not only came into this world, but then went to the cross. We are the reason for the incarnation, the life, the ministry, and yes, the arrest, trial, crucifixion, and death of Jesus. It's because we are betrayers. It's because we are failures to partake of the means of grace. It is because we act when we shouldn't and don't when we should. It's because of our failure to be the children of God God wants us to be that Jesus came to confront. Are you going to betray me with a kiss? To challenge, pray that you not be taken into temptation. To rebuke, put away your sword, for those who live by it will die by it. To challenge, could I not call on the angels, 12 legions of them? This is how it's supposed to happen. This is what must happen for our sakes. Jesus says, this is what must happen for your sake. And then he puts himself in the breach. He puts himself in the gap that we have created. He puts himself in the valley that we have dug between ourselves and God. He puts himself there to become the bridge for us. Even though we betrayed, even though we failed, even though we acted when we shouldn't and didn't when we should, even though we made a mess of it, even though we ran away, he nevertheless stands in the breach for us all. And all we have to do is receive the offered gift of love and pass through him to God. That's what Lent's about. Recognizing our failure, recognizing our betrayal, recognizing the mess that we have made of it ourselves, and recognizing that Jesus is the one who comes to set it right. The one who comes to heal Malchus's ear. The one who comes to remind us that he could call legions of angels, but he willingly presents himself in our place. Lent's a time to prepare, to see our participation in this whole event. As Judas, as the sleeping disciples, as Peter pulling the sword, as all of the disciples running away. Next week we will look at the trial and we'll see our participation in the charges against Jesus. And in the reality that we see in John's gospel when Jesus is arrested and they ask, who is Jesus of Nazareth? Where is Jesus of Nazareth? Which one of you is Jesus of Nazareth? And he responds with that statement that is essentially a quote of God's name, Yahweh, I am. And they fall down in shock. Likewise, in all the gospels, in the synoptics too, when they ask him, who are you? He responds with that statement, I am. He is our God, our Savior, who willingly, graciously, lovingly places himself in the gap for us. May we, when we come to our trial, our tribulation, our moment of challenge, may we recognize and accept the gift of grace and receive the love of God that he offers us all. Yes, even to Judas. Yes, to the faithless disciples. Yes, to the guards who came to arrest him. Yes, to Malchus. Yes, to us all. The love of God, unconditional, never ending, always present. That's who Jesus is, and that's what he gives to us. Even in the garden at his arrest, eternally from the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say,
Amen.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.